Welcome to this week's edition of Holy Apostles' Weekly Sermons.
Of the gospel of the holy apostle and evangelist Mark.
May God, through the intercessions of the holy, glorious, all-laudable apostle and evangelist Mark, grant utterance with great power unto thee that proclaimest the glad tidings, unto the fulfillment of the gospel of his beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Wisdom, attend. Let us hear the holy gospel.
Peace be to all.
And to thy spirit.
The reading of the holy gospel according to Mark.
Glory to thee, O Lord.
Which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate, and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead, and calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he brought fine linen, and took him down, and wrapped him in the linen, and laid him in a sepulchre which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulchre. And Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid.
Glory to thee, O Lord. Glory to thee.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen.
Indeed.
Good to have a healthy fear of God, but perfect love dries out fear. So whenever you stand back up to pray, come closer to the altar of God, okay? We continue today our celebration of the Lord's resurrection from the dead, which we celebrate for 40 days following our celebration of Pascha, but also we celebrate repeatedly every week. Every Sunday is a replication of the Feast of Pascha, of the Lord's resurrection from the dead. And first of all, I wanted to say something about this event of the resurrection. St. Gregory the theologian in the 4th century writes, he's paraphrasing some of the more ancient writers, but he says, concepts create idols. Only wonder grasps anything. I'll say that again. Concepts, that is intellectual concepts, create idols. Only wonder, that is amazement, will grasp anything. And I say that to you because we live in time, and in time we are some 2,000 years after the event of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And in that position, we seem to have heard this news so often that it maybe has become something that we take for granted. Something that we just acknowledge either as fact or as something that someone else asserts as fact. But we don't ever actually contemplate with amazement and with wonder what it means that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. We know from the scriptures that other people indeed were raised from the dead, but they were always raised from the dead by the agency of someone else, right? The prophets Elijah and Elisha raised men from the dead. Jesus Christ himself raised others from the dead. But in the case of Jesus Christ, we have something unique in that all of those others who were raised from the dead died again, ultimately. Jesus Christ, being raised up by his own power, that is the power of divinity, did not die again. It is an utterly unique event in the history of the whole world. And it is something which should always demand our wonder and our amazement. We should begin there. We might look at it with skepticism, say, well, okay, some people will say that, but they were his followers that said that, right? And we might even find ourselves thinking or saying the words that the Jews taught to the soldiers that were guarding the tomb. His disciples came by night and stole the body while we were sleeping. That sounds reasonable, right? If we're going to be, you know, modern 21st century people looking at things from an objective standpoint, it sounds reasonable to say this is probably what happened in reality and this whole resurrection thing is nonsense. But the historical record does not allow us to do that. And by the historical record, I don't mean the fact that no one has ever found the body of Jesus. A body would be easy enough to conceal, right? You can take a body and get rid of it easily. People do it nowadays all the time. By the historical record, what I mean is that those disciples who went around the world telling people that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead suffered for that news. They went out proclaiming Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. They started out in Jerusalem, right, where the whole event had happened, where Jesus Christ had been crucified and laid in the tomb and risen from the dead, and they went out from there in the city, in the temple itself, saying Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And they were seized by those who hated that message, and they were beaten. And they were told, don't say this anymore. And their response was, whether it is better for us to listen to God or to listen to you, you be the judges of that. But we cannot say anything else because we know this to be true. All of this is recorded for us in the Acts of the Apostles. But if you look beyond that, if you look outside of the Acts of the Apostles, the histories that are preserved in the Holy Church, we understand about all of these apostles to a man, suffered and died with this same news on their lips. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And I ask you to tell me, if you think they would do that, if they had all conspired together and stolen his body while the guards were sleeping and gone and hidden it somewhere. To deceive is one thing, but to go to your torture and death confessing the same thing is something completely different. And even after them, those who were not actual witnesses of it, those whom we call the martyrs, fulfilled the same role. We have to either say that they're all insane or that they're correct. That Jesus Christ truly is risen from the dead. That's why the martyrs are called martyrs, right? Martyr, the word martyr means witness. They are witnesses with their lives and with their sufferings and with their deaths that Jesus Christ truly is risen from the dead. So all of this being the case, you and I have to respond somehow, right? We are, after all, talking about the most significant event ever to happen in the history of the world. If we're thinking rational human beings, we cannot be indifferent to it. We are preoccupied and concerned with all kinds of lesser details about life, but here we are talking about the most significant, the most important, the most awe-inspiring, wonder-inducing event in the history of the world. We have to respond somehow. The church calls us always to repentance. And you might think, well, great Lent is over, Father, we're done with that. No, we're not. Because repentance is not a one-time act. Repentance for Christians is a way of life. And it means that we are always in the habit, we are always cultivating the habit of turning ourselves away from the trivial distractions of this life and turning ourselves towards the God who is revealed to us in Jesus Christ. That's what repentance consists of. We think about it in the very specific context of making our confession in front of the priest and listing off things that we have done wrong. But how is that different than what I first said? Turning ourselves away from the trivial details of this life which preoccupy us and turning ourselves towards the God who is revealed to us in Jesus Christ. I encourage you in these bright and glorious days of the resurrection to persevere in this way of life. Sometimes we exert ourselves a great deal during Lent and even more so during Holy Week, and then we celebrate the Lord's Pascha and then we put it away. And we think, I don't have to do that again for another year. But that's utterly wrong. Priests are guilty of that too, by the way. It's utterly wrong. We have just begun, my brothers and sisters. We have just begun. Look at the calendar that you have hanging in your kitchens or in your living rooms or in your bedrooms, the Orthodox Christian calendar. What do we say? This is the third Sunday of Pascha. We're still celebrating it. We haven't put it away. It's not like, you know, American cultural celebrations of Christmas where you feast up until the day of December the 25th and then you drag the Christmas tree down out to the curb on the 26th. We've just begun. We're only in the middle of it. We are still reveling and glorying in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we do so all the way up until the celebration of his ascension into heaven and the descent of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. And then if you look at your calendars, all the days after that, the first Sunday after Pentecost, the second Sunday after Pentecost, the third Sunday after Pentecost. What does that mean? It means the way that we mark time is according to this great mystery. The Lord is risen from the dead. That he has ascended into the heavens wearing the same human flesh that he took from the womb of the Virgin Mary. And that he has sent the gift of the Holy Spirit upon those who follow him. And that gift of the Holy Spirit perseveres until this very day. You and I live in the days after Pentecost. And therefore we should rejoice. Whatever sufferings come upon us in this life, whatever hardships we have to endure, bear them like the martyrs. Because nothing can happen in our lives. Nothing. The most horrible things can happen to us, but nothing can change the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is truly risen from the dead. That he has opened the kingdom of heaven to you and to me. And he has paved the way. He has gone on before us as the true forerunner, preparing a place for you and for me. To him be all glory, honor, and worship together with his Father and the Holy Spirit unto ages of ages. Amen. Amen. Christ is risen.
Indeed he is risen.